Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one. Gosh, you look great this morning. All cheery. You had a good start off in the new year, have you? Great. Great. I hope that everything went well and that you had a good time and so forth. And this fellow by the name of Roger, he went out New Year's morning. He was having a good time. And it said that he just had a little too much spirits. And he decided he couldn't drive home, shouldn't drive home, which is wise. And he didn't want to get a Uber driver. And he decided he'd just walk home. And he's going down the street, you know, and he's wobbling all over the place. And a policeman stopped him and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to a lecture." He said, "Who in the world would be having a lecture at 4:30 in the morning on New Year's Day?" He said, my wife. Yeah. So he's going to lecture. So I hope you didn't have to go to a lecture. Hope you had everything's going good. Bless your heart. It's a great day. I'm going to share with you Psalms 121 as we begin our service this morning. "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Amen. Let's praise our God.
For him, opening him this morning using them 434, first and last verse, and Virgil will have a prayer. "Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on, walking in his footsteps till the ground be won. Follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus, anywhere he leads me, I will follow on. Down in the valley or up on the mountain steep, close beside my Savior, every peep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, I would follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I would follow. Follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere he leads me, I will follow on."
Father, we thank you for this day. We come today to honor and to praise you, to thank you for all the blessings we received in 2018. We pray that in 2019, we will continue to be a light in this community. We will bring your word, know your will, and bring more people to join your kingdom. We know that you're the one and only true God. You give us grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness. And we come down and ask for that forgiveness when we fall short. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now for communion, hymn we'll use number 234, first and last verse.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness shall come o'er me, sorrow's fret, I often fret, but the Savior still is with me, his hand I'll safely lend. So I'll sing the wondrous story of the bride who died for me. Sing it with
First thing first, this fella has a birthday here today. He came in the door, I could tell he's older. Boy, don't let those years get you down, Robert. And Donna's going to have one this week, yeah, the 10th, isn't it? And so we're going to sing happy birthday to Robert. This is Sunday. His birthday on Sunday, you get to sing too. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Okay, anything else we need? Any announcements anybody have to share? Kathleen, a hymn sing will be at Berea. If you don't know that, we'll be at Berea this month. And folks, hope you plan to go there, be with us. And Okay, we hope you got started off in a good speed for the new year, and looking forward to some good things the Lord has for us as a church family this year, and I'm just so thankful that He's given us opportunity and a lot of things that we hope that we'll be able to get done and share and just enjoy one another in the service of the Lord. So glad that you're here today. Okay, as we look at our prayer list, we still want to remind you to keep that before you and keep the names right there with you and know what's taking place in their lives. We shared a lot of things with you, and I was looking for some others here. This Terry Elders that's on our, it says Eldridge, that's Elders, actually, E-L-D-E-R-S is its name. He is going tomorrow for some tests, and then they're going to have to decide what they're going to do. They're probably going to possibly do heart surgery on him. He has a tumor in his heart the size of a golf ball, they say. And so it's a tremendous operation. So keep him in your prayers, along with all the others. Let's see who else on there. And also Vernon. Vernon was hoping to be here today, but Vernon went to the doctor Friday, and he put him on some antibiotics, but so far they're not taking hold yet. And of course, as Noodle said this morning, it should take 2 or 3 days for them to start working. But all probability, if this continues, well, he's going to have to take, and he's going to undergo an operation to try to cure what he's doing. And but I went to kidney doctor this week, and because they told me that I was having some kidney problem. I didn't know it, but they told me that. And I went to a specialist, and he was really great. I really, really have confidence in him. And he gave me some stuff, and he said, "I think we'll take care of that." And I should have told him. I said, "Yeah, the Lord's going to help you take care of me." Yeah, and so I'm encouraged by that. What happened? My blood pressure just runs so high for so long. And I should have been working on that longer. And it caused some damage to my kidneys. And they say, I didn't know that, and some of you people, if your blood pressure runs high on you, it's hard on all your vital working things. And I just wasn't as much concerned about my high blood pressure as I should have been. And I would take it, and I knew it was high, and they told me it was high and everything. But, you watch that, because now I know. And so if you have high blood pressure, well, get to the doctor and get on something to get it lowered down so it doesn't do you damage. So, but God is good. He was talking with Vernon, and Vernon was kind of sad. There Friday he had to go to the doctor and stuff, and things wasn't working real well. And doctors are good. And God uses doctors to help us out and so forth. And so just have confidence that they will. And by the way, Fanny's brother that we've had on our prayers, I was talking to him last week, and you wouldn't have thought he went through that. I mean, he just looked like him, and he's up driving, going right on. Praise the Lord. So, we have to deal with all that stuff in this life. We have problems, this old body and stuff, and it's just great how that God works through doctors and so forth and helps us, and just great. So be in prayer for them. And each and every one that's on our prayer list there now, keep them in mind and such. All right, what else we have? Our country, boy, our country's in bad shape right now, and things are going on. So earnestly pray. I think a whole lot about what's going on in the world today and so forth, and I'm going to have a sermon here pretty soon, if I can get it all together, to share some thoughts and some facts that's what's taking place. And I don't think that most people in America today realize what's really taking place right now. God is really working right now, and I hope you see that. And also, our nation is suffering God's wrath. And I hope you see that. If not, I hope that I can have in this sermon some things that will help you to see what God's doing and what I'm seeing and what I'm reading and seeing that God's doing. And we're suffering right now some of the wrath of God pretty strong. But God's got a good plan, and we're going to come through. So that's great. Isn't it wonderful that we have this greatest hope of anybody in our health-wise, in our lives, in our nation, or whatever. Whatever takes place, God's going to see us through. Isn't that great? Going to see us through. So keep in mind, and they have the talks, you know, that they're going to pull a bunch of service people out of, what is it?
Syria.
One place. We just hope that they can pull them out of every place. We just hope that we can, you know, that we can get all of that and we can live peaceful and so forth and such, but be hard for us to do, but just pray about it. Pray for all those, the caregivers to those who can't care for themselves, and we have several people that we know of that is in that condition. But I'm so glad that we have people that are talented, are blessed with, is it talent or whatever it is that they are blessed with, that can take care of them people. You have?
I don't know where you know about it or not, but Judy fell this week in our yard, and that ankle, she's not doing the best, but she's improving some. So we just keep a prayer upon her to keep
okay.
improving.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to mention quite often, you know, look around and pray for each other. And yeah, we all have problems that we have to face and difficulties, and we do fall down sometimes and get bruised up. And so, you know, God's interested in those little things too. You know, you might say, well, you know, here's somebody that's going for some tests tomorrow, and then he's going to try to determine what they're going to do with this growth in his heart, and that's a very serious thing, isn't it? And we want to really pray about that. But you know, yeah, she fell and got some bruises and sore, and it might not be a big thing, but God's interested in those little things in your life just the same as he is those big things. And he wants to work for them, and he'll work those out for you. Praise our God. Let's just praise him for it. Let's talk to him about it.
For prayer hymn, use number 196, first and last verse, and I'll have the prayer. Let's all stand.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glorious share in our way. While we do his good will, he abides in us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for again for this another opportunity we've had to gather in your house today, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with us through the further exercise of service, be with the ones on the prayer list, comfort and restore them back to the health again, and ones that's going to have operations, be with them. Now go with us through the further exercise of the service, guard, guide, and direct us, save us in the ends, our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 378. This time now the choir brings a special.
Sky may turn to gray. I don't worry.
that. Thank you so much, choir and Kathleen, for that. Love that. I forgot to mention, how many of you started reading through the Bible with us? Oh, that's great. We ran out, the printer quit on us, and I didn't have enough printed out, and some of you just didn't get it. Robert was gracious enough to print out. Robert didn't do it. He's like most of you guys, us guys. He put it off on his wife. So thank you, Angela. And so they printed out the whole year sheet back there. So if you haven't got one, well, get one back there. And also I have a clipboard back there with a yellow tablet on it. If you put your name on there that you're reading through the Bible with us this year, then I'll make a chart, and then each week you can check off that you've marked that you've read yours. So that's great. Now, this morning, this message I'm going to share this morning, I've been working on some of these for a long while, and I really was going to get a series going, and this was, How I Know. As you notice in the bulletin, this was How I Know That There Is a God. And I wanted to go with How I Know That We Have a Savior and all, a bunch of other How I Know That's Heaven and those, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to probably pick this week, somewhere that you're reading this week, I'm probably picking from that. So I've started kind of looking at that, and did that this week. Give me the opportunity to use this one that I'm going to share with you. But, thank you for that. And by the way, did you ever see an all-day sucker? Look at that. Yes, as most of you know, I try to pass out suckers to the kids. Used to pass out Tootsie-Rolls, and pass out suckers. And so one of the big kids got after me because I wasn't giving her a sucker. And so I started giving her a sucker. And she tried to pay me back a little bit here with an all-day sucker. That's great, isn't it? Well, as I said, we started the Bible reading. I said, whoa, this is a good opportunity for this message. And it's just the first sentence of the Bible, first verse of the Bible. And because, as you know, I want to share with you how I know that there is a God. And Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created. You remember in 1961, there was a 26-year-old, a German, wasn't it? Out of the Soviet Union or something, that he was the second one that went out in orbit and went around the Earth, and so forth and came back. And he was speaking at the World's Fair after that, and he was talking about, the great trip he had out in space and so forth, and it must have been awesome and so forth. But here's what he said. But he said, I didn't see God. I was out in space all around the earth, but I didn't see God. Now, was it in 1968 or 69? 68, I think it was, that the three Americans went behind the dark moon, sailed back there, and as they come around the moon and they saw the earth and they saw the sun shining on the earth, and they saw and they described the colors. How many of you remember that? And they were so awed by it. And I think it was on Christmas Day. Was it on Christmas Day that took place? And you remember what they did? They picked up the Bible. And they were just awed by what they saw. And they picked up the Bible and they said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And they went on and read a whole bunch of the Bible. But isn't it something that here's two different views? The young cosmonaut saw what they saw, and they both had different opinions. One didn't see God, and the other one saw God. It's like David in Psalms, he speaks about the heavens. In other words, I think it's 19:1, that he says, I just look and I see God. The earth and stuff just shows the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. And you can just picture David, can't you? He's looking at the beauty. You know, when you look out, and we've talked about some of the beautiful landscaping, or not landscaping, but the scapes of land and the beauty of the land. And David's just looking at the creation and he says, I see all this, and it just cries glory. You know, the flowers that bloom and everything, and looks up to God and just glorifies God. And he says, I look in the firmament, and he sees the moon, the stars, and the sun, and so forth, and all the galaxies. And he said, man. And then he says in 14:1, he says, it's a fool that it says in his heart, there is no God. There is people today that say there is no God. And I'm glad that you people, I hope you know there's a God. But you know, one of the things that strikes me odd, there's a lot of people gets in the Bible and they read that verse, in the beginning God created, and they get hung up on it and they talk about what was before that. What was taking place back there? And I've heard even preachers say that, you know, God was all alone back there, just in barred space back there. And so we don't know what was going on back there. It kind of like the little boy, Johnny. He was going, walking to school, and he caught a bumblebee. And he put it in a bottle and put a cork in it and put it in his back pocket. And he got in school and he got to kind of scooting around in the seat, you know, and a cork come out. And then he really got squirming in the seat, and the teacher said, Johnny, what's going on? He said, teacher, he said, there's something going on back here that you don't know about. Yeah. But we got loose. And so there's something going on back there we don't know about. But here's what we do know, and it starts in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. The Bible doesn't set forth to prove a God at all. It just declares there's a God. It just, isn't that what it says? In the beginning, it doesn't say anything about God. It just says, in the beginning, God created. So what's it saying? There was, is a God, and he created what we see and so forth. What we see here. First, you know, let me ask you this. We have what is called a world view of life. How many knows that? Okay. But there is a world's view of life. Now, if you don't know, and some of you didn't raise your hand, but I hope you'll know before we leave here. If you don't know the world's view of life, your life is not going to be full. You're not going to experience the fulfillment of life if you do not know the world's view of life. And there is a correct view of life. There is a correct view of life. Now, I'll give you four questions, and for you to know and understand the world's view of life, you have to ask yourself four questions, and I'll give you four words, and then I'll give you the questions. Origin, meaning, morality, and have to think of the next word. I know it, I just can't say it. I almost have to give you the question. It's where you, what's happening after. Well, give me that word, Lord, give me that word. Okay, so the four things, four words, four questions. The first one here is origin. You have to ask the question, where did I come from? How did I get here? The second is meaning. You have to ask yourself, what am I here for? What am I here for? And the third one is morality. And morality has to do with right and wrong. And you have to, and you do know right from wrong. Murder's not right. Murder's wrong. We know that. But, you know, there's a lot of people doesn't think right and wrong as you do. See, Hitler didn't believe that murder was wrong. And the gas chambers is over there to prove that. Destiny is the next one, is what I want. Destiny. You have to ask yourself this question. What's going to happen to me after this life? Where am I going to go when I die? Now, thus, that is the world's view of life. You must know those things if you're going to have a full life, if you're going to have fulfillment in life. Four questions you have to ask yourself about life. Now, let me boldly say this. Christianity is the only source that can answer all four of those. Islam, Hinduism, Mormonism, they might answer one or two, but they can't answer all of them at all. And then in, 1859, I believe it was, there came this book written by Darwin. And Darwin is a scientist. And he comes up with the theory that we evolved from another species. Now that is a worldview that some people, many people are trying to press on us, right? Evolution. Darwin says we evolved from another species. Now, Darwin wrote, I think it's about two chapters of his book. He writes, and he kind of, to try to make himself look good, but he also, it's not really denies, but he puts it this way. He says, if a species, now he can't explain, see, Darwin can't explain. And if you had his book, but don't buy his book, it's not worth the money. But he can't explain where we really come from. And he can't explain why we're here. And he can't explain the rights from wrong. And he says, after this, we just die. But now, in his book, two chapters he uses, and he says, in essence, this. If a species does not produce another species within a reasonable length of time, it is proven to be untrue. Now, let me ask you. That's been, 160 years ago? 160 years. And there has not been one species bring another species into existence. Don't you think that's kind of reasonable time? Yet, we have the school system still teaching evolution. After Darwin denying that his theory probably isn't right, our education, when you went to school and I went to school, do you remember what they did? They tried to cram evolution down our throat. And they're still doing that in school with our kids today. And to think about it, Darwin wrote in two chapters, he used two chapters of his book, I can show you, in saying that this might not be true, and yet our highly educated people are still teaching that to our children in our public schools. They're teaching that to our vulnerable children in school. And not only that, as I said, now they're wanting to push that on us as the view of life. As the world's view of life, they want us to believe evolution. It's not so. Not so. And I hope that I can show you from that that it's not. I've got to get my notes up here. I didn't think I was going to use them, but I'll to save sake, I'm going to use them a little bit. I'm trying not to. Because of Darwin's era, we are now faced with a group of people who call themselves atheists. And if you have noticed in the last years, they have risen up and tried to push their thing. But let me tell you, there's no such thing as an atheist. There isn't. Now, the atheist used to say, atheism, you know what atheism is? When a definition of atheism, you have to go back to an old book too, also to get all this. Atheism used to be defined as, you know, one who believes there is no God. Now, in our dictionary now today, in our new dictionary, they have changed that because they have come to understand they cannot say there is no God. Now, if you look in Webster's, it says one who believes there is no God. See the difference? They have changed that. And so that no longer is an atheist, see? Because atheism says there is no God. But now they claim and they do say they don't believe there is a God. That goes back to what David said in Psalms 14:1. Little shoe shine boy, he's shining shoes. And he's shining his shoes this day. And this fella's talking with another little shoe shine boy, hears him say, "There's no God." He said, "Mister," he said, "the Bible say it is a fool who says in his heart there's no God. And you just opened up your big mouth and let it out." A fool that says there's no God. You know what? Fool, it says foolish. The definition, foolish. Unwise. Silly. And it is foolish, it's silly, it's unwise to say there is no God. There is no God. There is no God. I want to try to prove to you that there's no atheist. And because atheists now are agnostics. How many knows what an agnostic is? Okay. Definition, for you don't know, definition of agnostic is does not know. Does not know. So now listen to this, because you might you come up against some atheists, and this is good stuff to use with them. You know, just question them about it. And so that then, the atheist doesn't believe there is a God. In other words, he's saying, We don't know. See, they've become agnostics because they're saying, we don't know if there's a God. We don't know if there is a God or not. Not. Now, let me try to explain it in a few ways here. For someone to know there is no God, you know what he or she has to do? They have to have complete knowledge. All knowledge. Think about it now with me. For someone to say there is no God, they would have to know everything there is to be known. They would have to have all knowledge. And so this took me then to look up people with great knowledge. I wanted to look, who's the smartest person in the world? How many of you might believe that Einstein is the smartest, had the highest IQ? We were taught that I used to believe that because I was taught that Einstein, but you know, his IQ is about 160. There's a guy by the name Paul Allen. How many of you know Paul Allen? Paul Allen is the co-founder of Microsoft with Billy, whatever his name is. He has a 10-point hedge what's his name? Yeah, okay, I can't think of his name. Whoever was it? It was Copars. He's got 10 points. He's got, and whatever the guy that invented Microsoft, he's got 160. But I want to know, who's the wisest? Who's got the most knowledge? And this William James Sidis, S-I-D-I-S, is known to be the one who has had the highest IQ, or the most knowledge, so to speak, of anybody on earth. And he's from Boston. When he was 2 years old, he could read the Boston Tribune, the paper. 3 years old, he could speak 10 languages. He went to Harvard at 11 years old. And you probably won't do this, and it's all right. But I just got caught up in that, and studied a whole bunch of them. And of all that's got high IQs and so forth, just a few of them really used it and so forth. Sidis went from town to town. He moved here and there because of the paparazzi, so to speak, and all the things. And he wrote books after books. In fact, they don't know how many books he wrote because he wrote in pen names when he had moved, he changed his name. I read about this one. I forget whether he's from China or somewhere. But they had this arithmetic problem. And they was offering $1 million to whoever could solve this arithmetic problem. And this fellow, whoever he was, I can't remember his name or exactly where he was this morning, but he solved it. But he wouldn't take $1 million. He's got a high IQ, but he wouldn't take $1 million. Here's what he said. He lived in an average or less than average residence. He lived less than average. He said, I don't want it. You know what would happen if he took it? The news, the press. He said, I don't want to live like an animal caged up in a zoo. And several of them did that. Now, the most knowledgeable fella in America is... slips my mind. He lives on a ranch. Alexander, so, but anyhow, we do have him, and he's there's one here in America that's supposed to be the highest IQ. You know, they had IQs from anywhere from like we have down in below 100, up to 250 and so forth. And there's a little 13-year-old girl got a higher IQ than Einstein has. I mean, that's just blowing my mind reading about all them. But it's very interesting. But here's what I'm saying. Let's assume, well, let me say this first. Now, this is documented, and so you can read this. I'm not telling you something that, you know, try very hard and never tell you something that's not right. You know how much knowledge the smartest person in the world has? Anybody? The smartest, the most knowledgeable person in the world possesses less than 1% of all knowledge. Think about that. Matter of fact, I read the figures, it's 2.5 billionths percent of a percent. But let's this morning, just for we can remember this, let's for this sake say that and let's say you're that person. Let's say that you're the person that has the most knowledge or has the highest IQ, you know, human, but you only possess 2% of it. That leaves 98%. And let me ask you, you know, to have all knowledge now, think about this. You would have to know every state in America, every town, every city. You'd have to know every culture in the world. You would have to know every country in the world. You would have to speak every language in the world. You would have to be able to dissect every sentence in every language. And you have to be able to sort out the nouns and the pronouns in every sentence. To have full knowledge, you'd have to know everything there is to know. But you only have 2% of that. Now let me ask you. If you only have 2% and there's 98% knowledge out there, is it possible? Is it possible in that 98% of knowledge that you do not know, is it possible that there's something out there that exists that you do not know? Sure there is. That's why there's no atheist. He now is an agnostic. He does not know. That's why he says, maybe there is and maybe there isn't. You with me? Let me put it another different way. A little more down home maybe. If you would say to me, there is no Cain in Indiana, you would have to know every town in Indiana, every township, every little burg in Indiana before you could say there's no Canaan, Indiana. But I could say I know there's a Canaan, Indiana because I have a nephew that lives there. And 63 years ago, when they started to putting the school systems together, merging them together, like they did over here at Sadieville, Canaan had a setup just about like Sadieville, a school and a gymnasium. 63 years ago, I won the contract to demolish Canaan School and Gym. So I was there. No, it's there. I don't have to know all about Indiana to know that there was Canaan, Indiana. See, I was there. Let me put it on a personal level. Let's say that you say to me, there's no James Doodle Cook. You know what you'd have to do? You would have to know every single person in the world to be able to say, there's no James Doodle Cook. With me? But I could say, I know there's a James Doodle Cook. You say, now, wait a minute. you're telling me, for me to know there's no James Doodle Cook, I would have to know everybody in the whole wide world. But you're saying that you can tell me and you don't have to know. And that's true. I don't have to know everybody in the world. You know why? Because, you see, I've met James Doodle Cook. I've talked with James Doodle Cook. And he's my friend. Now, what was the question we started out with? How do I know that there is a God? Are you ahead of me? Because I've met him. I've talked with him. And he's more than my friend. Do you know there is a God? Do you know four questions of the world's view of life? It all comes through Jesus Christ, as you said.
Extremes to give his only begotten Son, and we might.